Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I'm Janie Lee Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quit lit authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. It's Janie Lee Grace, and well, it's been a very interesting few days since my last podcast. Some of you may have seen me on Good Morning Britain on TV show in the UK. Came in absolutely at the last minute, as these things so often do. And so funny, because it was just on the last podcast, if you listened last week, when William Porter was our guest, ahead of William's interview, I was talking about the news story that I'd seen about Anne Hathaway, the actress who has declared that she is not going to drink until her son is 18. He's three now. And I was saying, wow, why would you be counting the days until you can poison yourself again? And so we were talking, or I was talking a little bit about that on the podcast. And then on Monday, bank holiday here in the UK, I get a call from a producer at Good Morning Britain saying, would you be willing to come in and do a debate on whether parents should drink alcohol? The angle that they wanted was, is it irresponsible for parents to drink alcohol? Now, that's not a phrase I would have chosen, but that's the angle they wanted. So, you know, I think I decided it was a good opportunity because, you know, it's quite hard putting yourself up for these kind of things, because let's face it, you know, you're going to get a lot of flack. And I did. But as somebody on the one of the forums that I'm part of, as somebody said on there, you know, you just never know who is watching. And if there's one person, just one person who is watching that, and you manage to say something that strikes a chord and makes them feel like they're not alone, then you know, you've done a good thing. Anyway, it was great fun. We had fun. I think I kind of held my own, although, of course, I was in the minority with my views. The presenters and obviously the person I was debating against, I think, thought it was a little extreme, my views. But really, all I was trying to get across is that life is so much better without alcohol. I did, you know, quote the famous phrase, alcohol is the only drug you have to justify not taking. And I think they took that on board. I don't know if I got chance to say quite as much as I'd like to. You know, these things fly by so quickly. If you've ever done anything on TV, you'll know that you blink and you miss it. But in the heat of the moment, you just can't remember everything that you had planned to say, even though I do media coaching. It's not so easy when it's yourself to get everything across. And of course, there's lots of you talking anyway. So we were all kind of talking over each other. I think I did manage to give my view and make it quite strongly. And the only thing that I didn't really get to say that I really wanted to say was that for anybody who is thinking, actually, I feel the same and I know that I would be a better parent or a better person or a happier person or whatever without the booze in my life, you know, just there is another way and life is so much better. That classic amazing book title, it is the unexpected joy of being sober. It really is unexpected. And that was exactly what William said last week as well, wasn't it, on the podcast, that he did a ton of research for his books. And when I asked him what was the most surprising thing that he found, you know, his answer was, from his own experience, the most surprising thing was just how much better life is without alcohol. He said he felt he'd dropped 20 years. He felt 20 years younger. How amazing is that? So that was a very busy bank holiday. Couple of days, Tuesday on TV. And then I had not preempt what would kick off after it, if you know what I mean. So I get back and then suddenly it's all splashed across the Sun newspaper. If you're not in the UK, you won't necessarily be aware of the Sun newspaper and its reputation. But if you're in the UK, you will. So I joked on social media that I really had found fame at last on the, you know, headline of the Sun, and their headline, because they're famed for their sensationalist headline. And the headline was "Whining On." Actually, I thought that bit was quite funny. Presenter, what was their expression? Oh, presenter blasted for suggesting that we would be better parents without alcohol or something like that. So I was the one who was apparently blasted. But interestingly enough, when I read the article and read the comments that had allegedly completely blasted me out of the water, actually, there were only a couple where people basically said, don't be ridiculous. It's perfectly OK to have a few glasses of wine and still be a good parent. But there were lots of others that basically said, yeah, I agree. I've found out that toddlers and hangovers don't mix, and various others which were offering support. So on balance, it was all good fun. It was also picked up by another website, Pretty, I think it was. So I've had my fair share of publicity this week, but it has been amazing to have the support of so many podcast listeners and so many sober heroes and friends, really. And I felt very supported. I didn't feel alone at all. So I'm really grateful to you all for that. I even shared it on my main Facebook page, which for me was quite a big one because I hadn't done that before. I hadn't shared anything about the podcast or anything on there. But I tend to just talk about my radio stuff or my singing career or do lots of daft throwback Thursday type pictures of when I was in the music biz. But anyway, I thought, you know, it's TV, I'll pop it on there. And I was actually really surprised by the reaction, because just about everybody who commented on there was kind of supportive and, you know, pretty much agreed with the view. And of course, just as I had one or two private messages from people saying, actually, I would like to try and give up. I don't know what I can do, what I can have as an alternative. And I'm worried about an event coming up and, I don't know how I'm going to work it out. So this week's podcast, if you are one of those people, is absolutely for you, because I thought it'd be a great opportunity to play the interview that I did with Tom Ward, who is a Wise Bartender. Just a great company. It's an online alcohol-free drinks brand, and they've got the biggest selection, I think, of any other online brand, and they've got so much choice, and Tom is so knowledgeable. So I thought you might enjoy this interview, and you can just get to hear Tom describing some of these drinks. I know you can't see it, actually. Pretty sure I've got it on YouTube. If I haven't, I'll put it up there. So if you want to have a look at Tom holding up the actual bottles, you're very welcome to do that. But it's an interesting episode, because we discuss what's out there in terms of soft drinks and drinks that don't contain alcohol. And Tom explains for us properly some of these confusions around the ABV, you know, how sometimes it says 0.5%, sometimes it says 0.0, you know, and it can be really confusing as to whether it has alcohol or it doesn't. So that's super helpful, and hopefully you'll find that interesting. The other bit of news that came out this week, of course, in the press, was about the whole thing about footballers who are no longer going to be drenched in champagne because of the players who for religious reasons don't drink alcohol, and of course some are under 18, so they're going to use alcohol-free champagne for their celebrations, which is fantastic news in my opinion, and long overdue, absolutely long overdue. Don't forget as well, I'll remind you after we've heard Tom's interview, but last call for our event Monday 29th of April at the Jago in London, 7 o'clock-ish. Very informal, free event with alcohol-free drinks and vegan nibbles and a couple of great raffle prizes as well, with some lovely organic goodies to give away. And special guests, Laura Willoughby from Club Soda, extremely knowledgeable about all things mindful drinking and being sober, and William Porter, who was our guest last week, author of Alcohol Explained. And there'll be a Q&A. It is just a really nice way to meet other people who are maybe on the same path, but it doesn't matter whoever you are, whatever stage you're at, everyone is welcome. It's called Self-Care for the Sober Curious. And I'll remind you again after we've heard the interview with Tom. So you might want to grab yourself pen and paper and jot down some of the names that he mentions. So here's the interview.
And welcome, Tom Ward. It's so nice to be able to speak with you. You are king of Wise Bartender. You are the Wise Bartender. and we'll talk much more about what you do with your fantastic business and the amazing range of drinks that you sell, because it's quite incredible. I mean, I had no idea. So we'll talk through some of those. But before we do, just tell me a bit about your story and why you kind of decided to get into this alcohol-free movement or mindful drinking. We'll get into that as well.
Well, thank you very much for the time to talk to me. I think probably my story is probably not too unusual. So I've probably had drunk my fair share through university and some of my younger years, probably typically like a lot of people have. And then as I got a little bit older, a little bit more health conscious, you know, started to get into a few more like sports and activities. So I'd play hockey and do triathlon. And you start to realise the impact that drinking has on you. So if you're, you know, suddenly get out of bed a little bit later because you've had a couple of drinks the night before, or your training's a little bit groggy, and you sort of look for ways to try and improve yourself. You can spend a lot of money on a faster bike, but actually just improving your health's a lot cheaper and a bit easier sometimes. So I started to cut down my drinking. I started looking at the supermarkets, and you know, in fairness, there was a few drinks, not too many, and started to discover things like the isotonic alcohol-free beers. I thought that was really exciting. Spoke to a few friends, and you know, sort of everyone was sort of opening up to the idea of alcohol-free, and this was probably like a couple of years ago. And then I sort of looked online, and I thought, well, I just want to buy one or two of different varieties. I don't want to buy big packs.
Yeah.
And that was a real barrier at the time. So I thought, well, let's just give it a go. Let's just let's see what drinks are out there, bring them in and see if people want to buy them. And from that, we started Wise Bartender, me, my wife and my dad. We set up a market store, our local market, and set up a website. And we had 17 drinks. And I think we've added over 100 extra in that year to that range.
It really is incredible, isn't it, how the market has changed. I mean, just a few years ago, there was, I don't know, one or two wines on the market. There was, you know, a couple of the companies had a light version of their beer, didn't they? And there was really nothing much else. There was, you know, there were a few beers, but that was it. But now, I mean, the range is absolutely incredible. I mean, what do you think's driven the trend? Because there definitely is a trend. Sometimes I wonder if it's just that it's on my radar, but it really isn't, because as you know, as we've been saying, the range is huge. We'll talk about that more, but there are, you know, the big guys are in on it now, your Heinekens and your Budweisers and some of the big beer brands and wine brands are really noticing this. Now, they wouldn't be bringing this stuff to market if there wasn't a paradigm shift going on. So why do you think that's come about, and how have you seen it sort of develop?
Well, I think ultimately people are becoming more aware of their health. You know, every week there's a documentary on the TV, you know, be it about sugar intake, alcohol intake, weight, whatever. And we're all becoming a little bit more aware how we can live a little bit healthier and have, you know, a better quality of life. And I think that people are realizing the importance of that. And, you know, alcohol-free very much has its place for that. So, you know, I still drink the occasional alcoholic drink, but I actually found myself gravitating towards alcohol-free. You know, I like a beer, an IPA style beer or a cider. Well, actually, we've got some beers and ciders which are alcohol free, which taste just as good as their alcoholic relations. But why go for the alcoholic alternative if you can have an alcohol free one, have a few more, drive home if you need to, get up the next day feeling good? So I think it's all about choice, isn't it? For some people, they choose not to drink. For others, it's that mindful approach.
Sure, absolutely. And the whole mindful drinking movement is becoming much bigger as well. I mean, for some people, that's really difficult. If you've got a problem and you don't kind of have an off switch, if you like, then being able to moderate your drinking is really difficult. But as you say, for those people who choose to drink, they can still have an alcohol-free drink. Now, of course, we should sort of put a caveat in here, in that organisations like Join Club Soda, which is an amazing online community that I know you work with as well, they're really campaigning for the pubs and the bars and the clubs across the UK to serve more of these drinks. Now, of course, I know we want people to buy them from you and to have them at home, but for those times when we do go out, how have you seen that change? I mean, for you personally, are there venues that, you know, you can go to and you can get your alcohol-free drink of choice, or do you find that that's still not as good as it could be in the UK?
Yeah, I think the supermarkets are definitely getting there. They're bringing more alcohol-free drinks to market. But you're right, the licensed premises, they are a little bit slower. Now, over in Europe, for instance, in Germany, you'll have two or three alcohol-free beers on tap in a pub. They realise the importance of having an alcohol-free offer. Yeah. Right.
But not wine. It's never wine, though, is it? Have you ever found anywhere? Actually, I found one pub that stocks an alcohol-free wine, which I was very impressed. Yeah. But yeah, I think we could probably agree that there is a bit of room for improvement there, isn't there? Yeah.
Definitely. Anyway, the UK is very much behind, at the moment.
But
with regards to the pubs
and the clubs, yeah. Let's talk about some of the things that are options that are available then. Before we do that, let's clarify what alcohol-free means, because it's really confusing. And when I first contacted you, I was really confused, because you look at a bottle of the wine that you sell, for example, or it might be a beer or whatever, and sometimes it will say on the front alcohol-free, sometimes it will say low alcohol. So let's discuss the difference. And then, of course, this very confusing volume thing that, of course, we see alcohol by volume, you know, with the ABV thing that often says 0.5%. Anyone who's choosing not to drink at the beginning, they panic about that. So can you just unravel all of that for us, please?
Yeah, it is a really confusing picture. And Club Soda are actually doing a lot of work with the government to try and improve the labelling in this country.
Yeah.
So currently within the UK, anything can be classed as alcohol-free as long as it has a volume of below 0.05% ABV. However, in Europe, it's below 0.5%. So there's obviously a little bit of difference there. And then when we're buying drinks in from Europe, so some of the European drinks, in front of me there actually, but they will state alcohol free because their country of origin, that's the labelling laws in that country.
Right. Okay.
But just to put a little bit of context, what 0.5% means, we get alcohol in our everyday lives and in a lot of foods. So for example, bread, vinegar, fresh fruit juice, all contains an ABV level. Yeah.
A banana. A banana is a good example, isn't it? Of some where you'd probably consume a similar amount. Yeah. Yeah. That's really
interesting. Banana's like
You were gonna say?
Banana's like 0.3% alcohol within it. So
So what we're really saying then is that yes, there is the teeniest amount of alcohol, but it's only the kind of alcohol we'd consume in our everyday lives. If we were to consume a whole bottle of 0.5% wine, have we consumed enough alcohol to not be able to drive, for example, or are we nowhere close to that?
Yeah, you're nowhere close to it. There has been some experiments done, and I think the participants tried to drink as much as they could in 2 hours, and they just couldn't. They got too bloated out. I think we worked out roughly a 330ml bottle, you'd have to drink somewhere between 18 to 24 bottles in an hour period to be near the drink drive limit. That's for a healthy functioning liver, I should say. So there is a little caveat with that. But you've got to really be going in there.
So the basic message is, if something is labelled 0.05%, is that right? 0.05% or 0.5%? I get confused still.
0.05 currently,
0.05%. Then what that means is you don't need to worry. That's absolutely fine. Now, can you explain to us with certainly with wine, I don't know if it's the same with beer, what is the process then? Because I've heard this phrase de-alkalized. So am I right in thinking that some wines, for example, start off life as having lots of alcohol and then some of the alcohol is removed? I'd be really interested to know what that process is. But some beers, for example, are brewed in a way that doesn't include any alcohol. I don't know if that's possible. Have I got that right?
No, you're absolutely spot on. Yeah, this gets all a little bit geeky and scientific now. So I guess the traditional method to remove alcohol was to heat it. And ultimately, by heating it, you lose the flavour within it. You just boiled off the alcohol. Obviously, techniques have become a lot more refined since then. So you've got a vacuum technique. So essentially, that heats the drink at a much lower temperature, sort of like you know, sort of low 20 degrees up to sort of higher 20 degrees, and the vacuum literally sucks the alcohol off the top.
Right.
Also, I think the French are experimenting with cone technology, where they literally spin the wine and the alcohol comes out of the product. So in theory, if that becomes cost effective and is efficient, you could in theory pour your favorite whatever wine into it and have it de-alcoholized. So that's quite exciting. But you're absolutely right. Beer-wise now, the brewers are experimenting with slower reacting yeasts that just don't produce the alcohol, or producing below that 0.5%.
Right. Really interesting. Okay. So so let's talk through some of the options then. I'm not a beer drinker, but I know a lot of people who are. And some of the beers you've got, you're selling, are just amazing. And I mean, I've challenged people who drink alcohol, and they as you said before, they're choosing it, not because they necessarily don't want to drink. They're just, it tastes great, you know. So I don't know if you've got any that you want to show us. Obviously, if you're just listening to this, then we'll just describe it. But if you want to hold any up, or if you want to tell us, give us obviously the brand name and anything that you want to say about it. So let's start with beers, yeah?
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, I was walking through sort of our storeroom, and I was thinking, oh, what one start? Because we've got so many, I didn't know what to choose. So I've got a bit of a selection.
Yeah, okay.
I've picked up, and in fact, the other thing I should say is that British brewing is really taking off of alcohol-free beer. So
yeah.
A year ago, we were really behind Europe. We're really catching up. So this is the Thornbridge Big Easy.
You can see
that it's a IPA style beer, again using that slower reacting yeast.
Yeah.
And this has been really popular. Real taste to it. If you're an IPA fan, you know, of the alcoholic variety, I really challenge you to have this and see if there's a real difference.
Okay.
It tastes really good and is really popular. I've only got two other beers, so I'm not gonna But Fit Beer, now we've got probably 10 isotonic beers. So what that means is it has the appropriate vitamins and minerals, and the sugar content is similar to our blood sugar level. So that as soon as we consume this, this is giving us energy.
Right. So it's good for athletes, in fact, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Great.
Absolutely. But I think it also down there, it contains B12 and folic acid. So it's fantastic for, it's actually positive for if, for example, you're pregnant or if you're breastfeeding.
Yeah. So we could actually say it's not only not good for you, you could actually claim it's good for you.
Oh, definitely.
That's something. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
It is. And it tastes really good. A Bavarian style beer, really nice. Fit beer, that is.
Okay. Yeah. They're a great, great British brand, aren't they? Young brand. Yeah. It's really, really cool, that one.
Yeah.
And what's the last beer you've got?
And the final beer is Ambar, and this is a world's first. So not only is this alcohol free, it's also gluten free.
Oh wow.
So a lot more people are becoming aware of, you know, their gluten intake or have intolerances, and this tastes fantastic. This is really popular here at Wise Bartender. We sell a lot of this, and it's well worth a try.
Yeah. And just to give us an idea, what kind of price would they be? Just give us a ballpark figure. How do they compare to alcohol? Alcoholic beers?
Yeah, well, the prices for all the beers vary. So we start at about £1.20, and then they go up to a sort of about £2.99 for a single bottle. But then we do packs where you can save money if you buy them in 6, 12s or 24s. And we also do taster packs where we group some together.
Great.
And then we have great fun coming up with names. So, for example, the IPA is a Yippie IPA pack.
Cool. That's great. And then on to the wines then, because, you know, the wines are the area that I think has improved beyond belief. Yeah. It's only a year or so ago that I tried an alcohol-free wine, and honestly, it was just awful. It was like a poor apple juice, a really poor apple juice, not even a half decent one. And I can't believe that the difference is amazing. And you've got the best selection, absolutely. So just flag up a couple of the wines for us, and I'll see if I agree with your choice.
Yeah. I've chosen some that I think you'll like, so I've been quite simple. But you're absolutely right. There is the wine market really varies, so be really careful what you pick. And we try all of our drinks, and particularly on the wines, you've got to kiss some frogs before you find a prince, and that's true with alcoholic wines.
Yeah, particularly the white. I think it's easier to get the red right, but the white, it's hard to get right. Oh yes, that one. Just to remind us what that one's called. Hold that bottle up. That is so good. You sent me that to try.
The Adnams 0.5% Sauvignon That's Blanc, right. A Spanish white, really light. Really nice. I think, you know, once you've had a couple of mouthfuls, I think you could quite easily be fooled into thinking this was a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
Really inexpensive as well, just £4.89 a bottle.
Yeah.
So what's really good, well, there's extra processes going into these wines, the price of them is coming down as well.
Yeah.
Some of the, they started off at near a £9 a bottle initially.
And is this a brand that make alcoholic wine and this is their version, or are they a brand that only make non-alcoholic?
So Adnams is actually a British beer brewer.
Of course it is. Absolutely, yes. Yeah. That's right. Of course, they've got a non-alcoholic beer as well. Yeah, yeah. I'm with it now.
Yeah. But they've got a wine warehouse side to the company, so they brought this in from Spain.
Right.
And fortunate to get this from them, yeah.
That's so fantastic.
Really popular wine.
Really good. Yeah. Okay. What else you got for us to have a look at? And have you got another wine? The fizzy, of course.
Yes.
Which one's this? What's this one called?
So this is Cordonio Zero, another Spanish one, actually, by coincidence.
Right.
It's not labelled a cava, but I think it's very close to a cava-style wine.
Yeah.
We've also got Prosecco, and we've got two other sparklings as well.
Yeah.
But this and the Prosecco are really, really popular.
Yeah. I think you sent me a rosé, a sparkling rosé. What was that one called?
No, the Bee's Knees, yes.
Bee's Knees, that was great. I mean, chilled. That is just the perfect fizz. So yeah, that I can imagine them being very, very popular. Fantastic. All right, great.
I'll send you one of these ones.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And what about onto the red wine? Have you got a red wine you could recommend?
I haven't got one next to me, but again, actually I'm gonna jump back just to the Adnams range,
because
they have got a Cabernet Tempranillo and also a rosé as well.
Have they?
And we've got them all at £4.89, and I think that's a really good range of wines. And if you want somewhere to start, particularly if you're new to tasting alcohol-free wines, there are three good ones to try.
Yeah. And just one question, just before we move on to look at the kind of spirits or spirit replacements. Would somebody, you know, because obviously the alcohol has been removed, but what about, you know, how much is the sugar content and additives and all of that stuff? Because sadly with the wines, we can't necessarily claim that they're good for us like the beer, but how bad are they? I mean, you know, if you're also trying to watch your sugar content and calorie levels, how do they compare with the alcoholic versions usually?
They do vary a little bit, but they typically they tend to be lower in calorie. Sugar levels vary. Some of them are lower, some of them are a little bit higher, but they're probably round about similar to the sugar levels. We do have a tab on our website of low sugar and sugar-free drinks as well. So there is beers. We've got sugar-free beers, for instance, that are alcohol-free. So if you're really concerned about the sugar levels, we have got options for you on that as well.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
There is a bit of a myth that needs busting as well, because I've been at markets and events and people say, oh, it's just full of rubbish. But you know, these follow exactly the same techniques. It's not chemicals being added to these. If anything, we've taken chemicals out. We've taken ethanol out of these drinks.
Yeah. What about sulfur? Isn't there sulfates in some wines? Excuse my ignorance.
Yeah. Yes, there is. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So these wines do contain sulfates. We have looked at alcohol-free, sulfate-free wine, but it did compromise on taste. So I'm sure they will improve over time, but at the moment we felt they weren't quite good enough to stock on our website, because we do kind of have a good standard.
Yeah, yeah. So on to these other drinks then that have come onto the market recently. I mean, this is a whole new world, isn't it? These kind of replacements for your gin and tonic and your vodka and tonic. And there's some fantastic ones on the market. So show us a couple of your favourites and just explain how people usually drink them.
Yeah, well, the first one I'm going to grab, you might recognise. So this is the Teetotal G&T.
Oh, what a brand. Isn't that cool? I love their logo. I love everything about them. That is such a great drink. It really is, isn't it? So it's a pre-mixed G&T without the G, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so this is really popular. This was the first pre-mixed alcohol-free drink on the market. They were in exactly the right time and picked up on that kind of that gin wave, if you like.
Yeah.
Really popular. Yeah. And you love it. So
I do love it. And they've also got the other one, is it called Cuba Libre, which is, it tastes a bit like Bacardi and Coke. Is it? Am I right about
that? Yeah, right. It's a white.
Yeah.
It's really a rum and Coke.
Excellent.
Yeah, really nice. The smell of it, you smell it and you think, oh, that's actually, is that real rum almost? The smell of it.
it's great. And then what about, have you got any Burago there?
I haven't got Burago for me. Burago, okay. I should have picked that one up. I knew that's one of your
Burago,
favorites.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's nothing else. The bottle is just gorgeous. I mean, what a fabulous gift to give somebody, the Burago. And we should say with these ones, this it's something like Burago, and I think probably what you're going to show me now. What have you got next up?
Is it I've got two others here. So
okay. Is that the Seedlip? Oh, Silk Tree. Okay. So these ones, we should say, are not pre-mixed. These are you use these exactly as you would a spirit. Is that right? Yeah.
So yeah, this is a straight replacement for a spirit. And I think some people get confused and are looking to compare it almost to, say, for example, a gin flavor. What I would say is a lot of these spirits, they are their own unique flavor. And I think it's fantastic. These producers aren't trying to imitate flavors. They're creating their own ones now.
Yeah, there's a real, botanical blends, aren't there, usually?
Yeah, and this is Ireland's first alcohol-free spirit. It's zero calorie, zero sugar, zero fat.
Wow.
So
you would have that typically, with a soda or with a tonic water. Great. Yeah. Add a little bit of whatever, lemon, lime, cucumber. Job done. Perfect. And the same would apply to Seedlip. Have you got any Seedlip to show us there?
I've got Seedlip in front of me, it's a similar sort of thing.
Yeah. Seedlip's becoming very popular, of course, at the moment, isn't it? And exactly as you say, same idea. Some of the pubs I've noticed in the UK are starting to stock Seedlip mocktails, which is very forward thinking. What's that one you're about to show us now?
So this is a new one. I thought I'd grab this one.
Okay. What's the name?
It's Drivers.
Drivers. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
Actually, I'm going to contradict myself a little bit now. This one does mimic a gin flavouring, a London dry style gin.
Right.
So if that's your thing, this is one to try, I would
say. Really? Okay. So again, mixed with a tonic, you'd use it exactly like as you would a bottle of gin.
Yeah, and all the zeros on the nutrition again. I don't know if you can see that.
Wow, that's amazing. What price would that be roughly? Again, they're usually as expensive, aren't they, as gins, in fairness?
Yeah, they take a few weeks to produce. There's a lot of effort that goes into them. So this one's £26 a bottle. The Silk Tree's £28.49. But I should say the Silk Tree you can only get through Wise Bartender. So you should check that one out through us as well.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, there's a real, as you say, they're real artisan brands here. You're not talking rubbish shoved in a bottle. These are really, really beautiful things. Actually, the bottles are just gorgeous, aren't they? There's no worry about it looking dodgy on your cabinet. and then what about ciders? I mean, I'm not a cider drinker at all, but I know a lot of people are, and I know you've got some ciders that you're proud of, haven't you?
Yeah, and well, obviously from my accent, I'm a Somerset boy, so
of course.
So here we go. So this is Sheppey's cider. Now Sheppey's a Somerset cider maker, so I'm so pleased that we've got a Somerset cider in
the local brand.
Yeah, I went down to Taunton, tasted it, bought cases there and then, and got them up online. I've met Mr. Sheppey, the master producer of this, and they're really pleased. They're really surprised of how well it's taken off.
Really,
if you're into your cider, try this. It's like a medium dry cider, really nice.
Yeah, that's excellent. Cool. Okay, good. Anything else you want to reveal?
Yeah, I've only got three others in front of me, and they're just a little bit different. So I thought I'd. So the first one is I've picked up is a square root ginger beer. Now,
I've tried that. It's fantastic. Yeah.
The square root produce craft sodas in Hackney, and they use sort of fresh fruit, and they're coming out with some really fantastic sodas. We got like a cucumber one, a rhubarb one, a lemon sour as well. So I'd say check these out. They're also about half the amount of sugar of a regular soda.
Okay, interesting. I mean, we haven't even really spoken about soft drinks per se, actual soft drinks that we're used to thinking about, you know, your kind of your ginger beers, as you say, and lemonades and all of that stuff. But, you know, again, that's another really growing market, isn't it, for people making really high quality, you know, decent blends of this stuff, because it never ceases to amaze me. You know, I've got, you know, four kids, and, you know, of course they want their lemonades and their Cokes and all the rest of it, but the amount of brands now that just shove sweeteners into the product just because they can avoid a sugar tax and because it's cheaper. I mean, for goodness sake, you know, at one time you could get away with not having that nonsense by just say, okay, never go for the diet version, and, you know, you're on to a winner. Okay, sugar, but at least it isn't the sweeteners. But now ever so many of the brands have got both in, which is wicked in my opinion. So I love the fact that these you know, really just ethical brands are coming out that are you know, they are a bit more expensive, but the quality is a million miles away, isn't it? It's really incredible. I know I had a ginger beer in a pub not so long ago, and oh my goodness, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. It must have had a ton of sugar and a ton of sweetener in it. I couldn't drink it at all. So that kind of thing that you're showing there is brilliant. Of course, Fever Tree are totally rocking it, aren't they? Leading the way in tonics. Their brand is doing unbelievably well. I read a thing recently that anyone who invested with them a few years ago is now super quids in. So yeah, it's a really interesting brand. Yeah. And then in terms of sort of what you can add to these Fever Tree kind of tonics and these various tonics, I know you're so keen on the idea of sort of adding bitters and things like that. What do you recommend there?
I haven't got any in front of me. We've got the vinegars at the moment, the shrub vinegars.
Yeah.
Made in Somerset. Their base is ultimately a red wine vinegar, but they're flavoured with different sort of, I guess, fruits and flavorings.
Sure.
And you can mix them with the tonics. We are sort of looking into getting some alcohol-free bitters as well, because I know that's something in particular that you're a fan of.
Well, it is, isn't it? Yeah, because I mean, you hear of people say, oh, you know, I mean, if you really can't get the drink that you want in a bar, you could at least, you know, you can buy a soda or you can buy a tonic water, and if necessary, drop a few bitters in it if you can't encourage them to stock it. But it's just what? Because am I right? I might make myself sound really daft here, but am I right in thinking if you buy the classic Angosturus bitters, is that even how you say it? That contains alcohol itself, doesn't it? Am I right about that?
Yeah.
It does. Okay. So you wouldn't want to be doing that if you don't want to drink the alcohol.
No. So we are looking and investigating. So we tend to look towards Europe. And that's where they tend to have a lot more of these things. So we're seeing what we can find, because I think, as you said, well, until pubs get to that stage where they have a decent alcohol-free offering, sometimes you've got to take something along just to liven up your tonic or your whatever, your soda water that all they're providing for you.
Yeah.
So there's definitely something that we can hopefully try and fill there. Sure. We are on the case.
Yeah, good. Well, it's great to hear. So, I mean, you got an amazing selection, and as you say, you're, you know, you're looking all the time to get even more. So, just tell us a little bit about how Wise Bartender works. As you were saying, that we can order individual bottles from you, or you've got some of these packs. Just tell us a little bit more about how the packs work, so that people can, you know, try a few different things.
Yeah, so what is the whole point of Wise Bartender is flexibility. So if you want to log on and just try a few drinks, you can absolutely do that, and you can fill your basket with 10 different drinks, and we're really flexible with the delivery options as well. So it's free delivery over £59, but under that it's £4.99. You can save money as well by buying in packs of 6, 12 and 24. So we do a little discount depending if you buy a few more quantities. But like you said, we've also got the Wise Pack range. And so that's why we've grouped together different drinks to try and make it a little bit easier for customers. So if they log on, for instance, I use the Silk Tree for an example.
Yeah.
We've paired that with some different tonics, and you can save a bit of money by buying it in the pack. And we've got, for instance, a cider pack. And we've got different beer packs as well. So it's a great way of trying lots of different drinks and trying to understand what they are easily as well.
Fantastic. I know you also occasionally do pop-up events, don't you? Which is great. Yeah. If somebody can, you know, find you at an event. So, yeah, well, I wish you all the best and I hope it really continues to grow. Just tell people where they can find Wise Bartender.
So you can find us at wisebartender.co.uk, but we're also on all the social media, so search for Wise Bartender UK on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter, and we even have a Strava page, so that's for all the budding athletes when they're recording their activities. You can join our Club WB and we do competitions on there to encourage people to get out and get active as well.
Oh, cool. Excellent. Tom, really appreciate your time. Thank you. And long may it continue. And look forward to seeing you at another, when you pop up somewhere at an event. Thanks ever so much, Tom. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
So make sure you stock up on Wise Bartender and a reminder then of the event. Where we'll have some of Tom's drinks, I think as part of our raffle prize. So looking forward to that. Again, it's self-care for the sober curious. It's all done with the charity My Yard. And so if you go onto Eventbrite and you type in self-care for the sober curious, or you can type in My Yard, then the charity page will come up and you'll be able to reserve your free ticket. It's Monday 29th at the Jago in Dalston in London, round about 7 o'clock. And it'll be just great to see you there. Really would. Make sure that you follow us on Instagram as well. It's at Janie Lee Grace. And if you do want to drop me an email, you're very welcome. It's janie@janieleegrace.com. I love hearing your stories, actually, and getting feedback. And if you do have any questions, then feel free to ask. I may not know the answer, but I've got a big network of people and I'll try and find someone who can answer your question. On to the self-care tip of the week then. This is, this kind of came about, this, why I thought I'd share this with you today is because it's actually ages since I've done TV. I haven't done much TV for a while. And because I didn't have very much time to really prepare and really think about it, I just had to do some of the things that I'm conscious that I tell other people to do. Because as I say, I do some media coaching sometimes and I work with some experts and authors and natural brands who want to get their message out there. And so I quite often coach people on how to prepare for an interview or how to prepare for public speaking, that kind of thing. And I just reminded myself, if you like, that one of the things I always try and suggest that people do is to visualize the outcome that they want. So if you're going to be speaking in public, and this is a great tip for anyone, actually, you know, there's this thing that psychologists call the cybernetic loop. It's this thing whereby your brain is so connected to your body. Everything is connected. I think we spoke about it in the interview, the podcast I did with David Hamilton, about how if you just stand in a power pose, as it's sometimes called, it's literally a position that makes you feel strong and powerful and confident. Whereas if you know, if you're head down and looking depressed, then you'll be feeling as if you don't have as much energy. So I always suggest that people not only do the power pose, but actually visualize themselves coming off stage and get a picture in their mind of themselves walking away from the stage, you know, saying, yeah, I smashed it. Just smiling, punching the air, whatever it is for you that sums up how it is you're feeling if something has gone exactly the best it possibly could have, you know. So I would like to suggest as a self-care tip that you think ahead to an outcome you want, to something specific. I mentioned that I'd had a couple of private messages from people who are just starting to, you know, they are sober curious, or they're a few days in or a few weeks in, but they've got an event coming up, or they've got something, you know, one of those firsts that we so often talk about, you know, the first party, the first wedding you attend, the first, you know, all of that stuff, your first birthday sober. All of those things can be real, you know, real milestones and can be real trigger points for some people. So there are a whole host of things that you can do to prepare to make sure that you rock those things. And there are lots of practical things, like making sure you've arranged, you know, how you're going to get home if you want to leave early, or being the driver if you want to ensure that you won't drink that way, and phoning ahead and making sure that you tell them your dietary requirements, because it is a dietary requirement to have something decent to drink if you're not drinking alcohol, or if necessary, taking your own and arranging that. And there's a whole bunch of things that you can do, practical things that you can do. But this is a mindset exercise, and I'm going to call it a self-care tip, because it can have such an incredible effect and a benefit on your well-being, on your mental health, I think. And it's really very simple. You just choose something. You can actually do it for lots of things, but let's do one at a time. So let's imagine, for sake of argument, that you have an event coming up. Let's say it's a function at work that you have to attend, that in the past you've always been to, but it's always a boozy affair, and you're kind of dreading it because you know that there's going to be a ton of alcohol there and probably not much else, and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, that's the kind of the default position. So if you imagine that scenario, you tend to immediately go to the negative. So our brains move to the negative, and body kind of senses the fear, and it's all doom and gloom, and all you're thinking about is the negative. And of course you can be sensible and start planning, but what I'm suggesting is you just do a tiny little mindset tip, trick, if you like, a little bit of visualization. So you create a picture in your mind. Think carefully of what the picture is going to be. It can just be a picture of you, similar to the example I gave of public speaking. It can just be a picture of you. You visualize yourself smiling, opening your front door, you know, coming home, punching the air, saying, yeah, I did it. I rocked that event. I had a great time, and I did not drink, and I feel great. So it could be as simple as that, or you could make it something a little bit more silly, a little bit more exaggerated. So you could imagine a picture of yourself going and collecting an award, you know, and there are flashlights, you know, bulbs popping, everyone's taking a picture of you, and you're collecting an award for the sober champion, or something ridiculous. It doesn't really matter, but as long as it's something that resonates with you, however realistic or unrealistic. But grab hold of that image, that outcome, and then imagine it. Just imagine it as a photograph. So see it in color, in all its glory, and then imagine just placing that in a bubble, in a little bubble of light, if you like, and literally see that every time this thought comes into your mind, every time you think about this event that's coming up, switch the thought immediately to the picture in that bubble. And what you'll find is your brain kind of goes, oh, okay, well, I'll focus on that. It's not a very technical way of explaining how the brain works. Other people are much better at doing that than I am. But I do know that this tiny little visualization exercise works so brilliantly for so many things. So that's the self-care tip. It might not sound quite as luxurious or as caring, if you like, as bathing in aromatherapy oils or going for a walk in nature, but of course you can do those things as well. But if you haven't tried it before, it's a very cool tip. And you will be surprised how you can often get the outcome you want, depending on how realistic you made your picture. But the, you know, the thing that's the most important thing to you, which hopefully right now is absolutely rocking an alcohol-free lifestyle, or if you're drinking mindfully, then you know literally getting exactly the target that you wanted, and feeling much happier because of it. So that's the self-care tip. We would still love to hear yours. We are still in the middle of our campaign, Stay Dry Till July. The reason we chose that name, this is myself and the charity My Yard, and we chose that name because we figured a lot of people go dry for January, but then they might give up a month later. And of course, it takes some time for it all to bed in. So we reckon if you set yourself that target, whatever stage you're at, stay dry till July. And if you stick it that long, then you'll stick with it. Unless, of course, you are Anne Hathaway and you will have 15 years to plan to drink again. Hopefully she'll see sense. She might have even seen the piece on the TV. Who knows? Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to seeing some of you at our event. Don't forget, there are some a few blog posts, a few competitions as well on imperfectlynatural.com. There are some competitions to win some of the drinks that we've been talking about in the interview with Tom from Wise Bartender. And I look forward to seeing you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast with Janie Lee Grace. Please subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us, share on social media, and tune in again.